Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message.
If you have a copy of God's Word, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version, but any version you got is totally fine. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We're going to have a huge one on the screen behind me. Our main text this morning is going to be Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it goes like this. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Well, the title of my message this morning is A House Divided. So let's pray, y'all. Please bow your heads. Lord God, I thank you for such a great morning. Lord, I thank you for the worship team. I thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to come before your throne, and to just lift up our praise. It's such a great privilege to be able to do that, to be able to worship the living God. Lord, I pray that your Spirit fills me this morning to speak the words that you would have me speak, not from my own mind, but from your mind, from your word, Lord God. Let this message of unity just pour over the congregation, Lord. I pray that their spirits will be sensitive to hearing what you would have them hear, Lord God. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you as we are in the month of your birth, the birth of Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Again, message this morning, A House Divided. So in preparation for this message, I thought about several different things that I could preach about. I was like, hey, what's a good topic that I could think about? As I began to focus and pray about a few different things, I kept thinking about something special that's been happening in Christ's Covenant the past year. So if you were with us back in July, we had our first annual serve day here at Christ Covenant Church, which was such a blessing for me. Yeah, go ahead and make some noise. It was great. It was a great thing. It was awesome. Happened in July. And if you were part of that, hopefully you remember one of the amazing things we did for one of our neighboring church's Christian Family Church. We blessed them by painting their fellowship hall. We got the senior pastor a big gift basket for him and his wife. And we spent a few hours there just to help, you know, painting and blessing that church. And honestly, of the past year since that, or the past 6 months, feels like a year, doesn't it? Past 6 months since that, our two churches have been doing actually a lot of things together. Their youth has come to several Wednesday nights here on our main events. We've had Cool Days. Thank you. Yeah. Cool Days, Glow Nights, our Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, one of my favorite events. They were here for those, and they invited us out a couple Saturdays ago to go paintball with them. So they've been doing stuff with us. We've been doing stuff with them. Our churches have been doing a lot together. And actually, a couple Sundays ago when I wasn't here, I was preaching at their church. They asked me to come speak for them, and I was greatly honored to do that. It's been great seeing all the things that the Lord has been doing between our two churches. And these thoughts kept coming back into my mind as I prayed about a topic for this morning, for this message, and I felt in my spirit a sense of unity between our churches. And it was just a great feeling, but in that same feeling, in that same sense, I began to think about all the division in the world today. I began to think about all the hostility that is growing in our culture of the world. It began to really make me sad. It weighed heavy on my spirit. It put a burden on my heart. And that's when I looked into the scripture and began to read about what God has called us to do in order to gain unity. So as I read Philippians and what Paul spoke about in our main text this morning, I broke down his instructions into three main points. I said this last time, it's just 3 points, y'all. It's not going to be super long, I promise. So if you are a note taker in the room, get ready for point number one, which is this. Number one, one mind. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, here in verse 2, we see Paul giving directive number one, be of one mind. I believe this is the first thing that he directs the people of Philippi to do, because all too often, this is where we get it wrong. This is where we get it wrong. And to be honest, that point right there, that could be good enough. I could leave you guys with that, and it would be a great message. I could be like, just read that verse a few times a day and go about it and do with it what you will. But of course, that's not the whole message. You guys aren't that lucky. I'm just kidding. So to be of one mind is absolutely imperative of fulfilling as a church all that God has called us to fill. As believers in Christ Jesus, this is something that needs to be at the forefront of our minds. It needs to be at the front of what we're thinking about. We need to have this on our minds constantly. It should be considered in all of our actions. To be as a church with one vision is crucial. One vision. Because if there's more than one vision, that's literally what division means. Die vision, right? Die meaning two, and vision meaning vision. Two visions. When this begins to happen, problems are soon to follow, and it's really easy to understand why. Like, we can't expect to fulfill something with the most of our abilities, with the most of our actions, with the most of our minds, when our mind is split in two. It would be impossible to focus on two different things and fulfill them with the most of our efforts. We can't do it. It's such a simple idea to grasp, but all too often, we find ourselves doing that very thing, and just not in the context of the church either. Like, I know at least in my own life, like, I'll speak for myself right now, and I hope some of you can relate. There have been far too many instances where I maybe have a specific task that I'm trying to get done, something very specific that I need to do, and in the process of trying to complete that task, I get distracted. My mind gets split. I start focusing on a couple different things, and I should just be focusing on the one. For example, I may be cleaning up Anissa and I's room. Like, I may be cleaning it, and I'm like, man, this really needs a good tidy, so I'm starting to clean it. And in that process, you know, I'm throwing away, like, water bottles and stuff. Any water bottle drinkers out there, you know what I'm talking about. There's a bunch of water bottles all over the floor, so you got to pick those bad boys up. You got to throw them away, and then we got, like, plastic cups. It's always cups. I don't know why it's always cups, but it's cups. And so I'm taking all the cups out and throwing away, and then the trash starts to fill up. So I'm like, you know what? Actually, I need to take the trash out. So I go ahead, and I start to take out the trash. And on my way back, I see a few weeds that need to be pulled, right, in my garden, right? I don't have a big garden, but dang, there's a lot of weeds in there. I don't know why that is, but there's some weeds that need to get pulled. So I start to pull the weeds, and then I notice that my hedges are probably a little too overgrown. So I'm like, you know what? I better go trim those hedges. I go to the garage, and I go to grab the hedge trimmer that my dad has let me borrow for like 5 months. I promise I still have it. It's fine. And then I noticed my garage, and my garage could use a tidying up too. And so I start to try to like move stuff around, especially since I got a home gym, just in case another lockdown. And there's not going to be another one. But just in case, I got a home gym in my house now, and so my plates are all over the floor and stuff, and so I got a cups and plates, y'all. So I got to put all the plates up and stuff, and then I get back to Anissa and I's bedroom, and the bed's made. Well, that's about it. That's about it. my attention was split. My efforts were divided several different ways, and my initial task wasn't completed. See, Paul knew the dangers of a divided mind in the church, so he made sure to instruct the Philippians first to be of one sound mind. Just one. Doing all that they can do, united under the calling that Christ Jesus has given them, has given us. And when you really think about it, the importance of unity of mind spans even into the secular world. That's why major businesses and corporations, they all have mission statements, right? They all have, like, maybe a statement that encompasses everything that they're about. Like here at Christ Covenant, we have heaven full, hell empty. It's actually heaven full on my shirt this morning. That's our vision. That's our vision statement. And they drill this idea into their employees every chance that they get, like before every single meeting, at the end of every single email, at the end of every commercial. They make sure to throw that mission statement in there. They want the people to know it. They want their employees to know it because they recognize the importance of being united in mission and in the mind. And we as Christians, we need to do that as well. And just like those companies, we can find God calling us to unity all throughout the scripture. For instance, if we look in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12:25, we see this, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And in Matthew 12:25, we can read the dangers of division when Jesus is talking about it, and he says this, but Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. The Bible is very clear. We must stand in unity with one another. We must care for one another. We must not pit ourselves against one another. We must not do that. The quickest way to division, y'all, the quickest way is by leaving grievances unresolved. Unresolved grievances. And I know how difficult it can be to have those tough conversations with someone who has wronged you, has said something horrible to you, has done something horrible to you. Trust me, like I said, I'm the youth pastor here. I've had some tough meetings. I don't look forward to them, but they're necessary. It can be tough. I get it. But when we leave issues and problems unresolved, resentment is quick to rise up in our hearts, and it only gets worse in time. Only gets worse. The longer we wait to reconcile, dispute with someone, the worse the division will get. It's inevitable. It's just going to happen. You see, I'll share a little story. See, this year, I was finally able to do something that I had been wanting to do for years, basically 8 years, because I knew right when I started dating her that I wanted to marry her. This year, I was able to marry Miss Anissa, Mrs. Santi now, actually. She was Mrs. Jameson, but now Miss Jameson, but now she's Mrs. Anissa Santi. Tony. But... And you see, in our marriage, we have such a great marriage, y'all. Anissa and I have never, ever, not even one time, y'all, had a disagreement. Nope, not once. Never. It's been perfect the whole time. That's a joke, y'all. If you didn't know it's a joke, you're probably not married. So we, of course, have had things that we don't agree upon. Of course we have. We're human. And as Pastor Ryan, the senior pastor here at Christ Covenant, would say, we have had some intense fellowship during our marriage. We've had intense fellowship before we were married. It's part of a relationship, intense fellowship. But something that I love about our relationship, something that I love about Anissa so much, is that we're always very quick to resolve our issues. It's something that I never take for granted. Even during some very serious disagreements, we realize that it's not us against each other, but it's us against a problem. It's something that I'm extremely grateful for in our relationship. And honestly, it's something that we're constantly working on. It's something we're constantly trying to improve. Not just because we feel like we should. It's because we know that we should. In Colossians 3:13, it tells us this. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So regardless of the issue, regardless of the grievance, we're called to reconcile it. Christ is called to reconcile it. This is not a suggestion, y'all. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. It's necessary if we desire to be united as a church and to be of one mind as the scripture has called us to be. And you see, once we're able to come together as one mind, we should then move on to our second directive, which is my next point in this message. Lift others up. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Lift others up. Again, such a simple idea, but such an important one. Such an important idea. The power of a kind word can heal the deepest wounds. We should be quick with encouragement, because the power of the tongue is immeasurable. Like I just said, it can heal the deepest wounds, but who here knows it can also cause the deepest wounds. That's why I always disliked that old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Yeah, I thought I'd get more of a response there, but it's no big deal. Yeah, I always disliked that saying. Like, I'm wondering who came up with that? Like, who thought about that? Like, that person must have never had someone truly tear them down, must have never had someone dissect their most tender insecurity, because words are powerful. As Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Each of us wield the power of life and death in our mouths. And it's up to us to decide how we're going to use that power. It's up to us. So let's be quick with encouragement. Let's be quick to speak life into everyone we meet, even if we can't, if they can't hear us, and even if we feel like they don't deserve it. Let's be quick with encouragement. That person who's taking way too long at the checkout, like the self-checkout, it's like, you got 5 items. How much are you going to scan 1 item? I think it's going to get messed up if you do it that many times. Like, you really want to eat the ice cream after you scan it that many times? I don't know. They take it forever, but speak life into that person. That person who posts things on social media that you do not agree with. You do not agree with it. Lift them up. Speak encouragement to them. That person, this one's personal. Okay, hold on. That person who just cut you off, okay? When you're on 290, remember old 290, how the lanes were really, really narrow? Can anybody in here remember that? Oh my goodness. And then there's always somebody who cuts you off going like 100, and they're always in a minivan. Minivans aren't supposed to go that fast. Just drive slower, please. I'm just trying to get to the mall. Either way, they're going to cut you off. You got to speak life into them. We're called to do it. We're called to do it, and we're called to do it often. Can you imagine this world if life was the only thing coming out of people's mouths? That's a world I strive to be a part of. But if I can't control what other people say, right? Like, we can't control what other people say, but you know what? We can control what we say. So let's speak life, and I want to encourage all of you to do that. Encourage people. Lift them up. Speak life into them. Use that sword to defend someone, not to harm someone. We are given the power to speak death or life, so let's choose life. Let's lift others up. Let's make it such a part of our day-to-day, such a part of who we are, that when we walk into a room, someone can feel that encouragement exuding off of us. They're just waiting for that encouragement because they know, they're like, that's the person who always says something nice to me. That should be what people see when they see us, because that's Christ. Let's bring that life with us wherever we go, because you know what? We worship a living God, not a dead one, okay? Our God is alive. Our God speaks life. So let's speak life. Such a simple thing to do, and it can have such an impact on someone's life. Now, it may be easy for us to give encouragement to others. It may be easy to lift someone up, but it's also important to take note of what is said in the first part of verse 3. To not do things through selfish ambition and to be of lowliness of mind. Yes, I can go out, I can give compliments to every single person that I see. I can tell them that they have a purpose and are important. But if I'm doing all of this while maintaining the idea that my purpose is probably a little bit better than theirs, my purpose is greater, what I do is more important, guys, I'm missing it. I'm exalting myself over them. I'm missing it. Getting it all wrong, because humility is key. Now, I don't believe that we're not to recognize our own importance. That's not what I'm saying. We aren't called to think of ourselves as useless. We're not. What we are called to do is recognize our created place in the body of Christ, which is to be part of a whole. The fact is given to us in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:12-19. It says this, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" I'm sure many of our seasoned saints in the building and tuning in online this morning have heard this verse, but some things are worth repeating. The body is made up of several parts, but each of those parts makes up a whole. So don't neglect your importance, your role in the body of Christ. Don't think of yourself as useless. That's not That's not what humility is. It's not. See, true humility is recognizing exactly what God has called you to be. No more, no less. If God has called you to be something and you become the greatest at that thing, recognizing your skill, it's not exalting yourself. You just recognize that where God has put you is a pretty perfect place. Recognizing your skill is not exalting yourself. Recognizing how good God has made you is not exalting yourself, but saying, God has made me better than you, that's where the problem lies. Now, on the other hand, if you feel that your role in the body of Christ makes you greater than someone else, or you feel like your role in the body of Christ makes you greater than somebody else, like I said, that's the issue. And this morning, I actually have something to kind of help illustrate this point. AJ's going to help me here. He's going to bring over my little illustration. I said this earlier, if anybody's preached in this room, illustrations help. The second thing that helps the most is probably like giving people candy. I don't have candy this morning. I'm sorry. Thank you, AJ. Let's see. I got to do this carefully. Oh, goodness. Hold on. I don't want it to fall. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So, here in my hand, I have little Baby Yoda. Actually, you know, I said this earlier. Guys, his name's not Baby Yoda. It's Grogu. If you actually watch The Mandalorian, you should know this by now. There's no excuse. His name's Grogu. We're going to call him what he is. Okay. So Grogu here is going to help me represent the body of Christ. And I know he's not Christ, y'all. Please don't email me. I know it's not Christ, okay? It's just made out of Legos. It's just a representation. So Grogu's going to help me this morning. He's going to help represent the body of Christ. And on the other hand, or, thanks, Tony, on this hand, we have us. This is Grogu's hand, and this is going to represent who we are in the body of Christ. And sometimes we can kind of think of ourselves a little better than most. You see, we got fingers, y'all. We got fingers, and if you look closely, this green's a little more green than the rest of the body, right? I mean, we're special, okay? We're special. We're even holding the little Mandalorian's like lever ball that's in the Razor Crest that no longer exists anymore. I'm spoiling stuff this morning. I'm sorry, y'all. but this represents us and everything that we've done for the kingdom, right? And sometimes we think of ourselves better, and even more so, sometimes we think that in the body we might be somewhere or supposed to be somewhere where we're not actually supposed to be. Like, for instance, I got to be careful with this. It took, how long did it take you, babe? 4 days to put this together. If this breaks, we're going to have some intense fellowship. so here we go. Let's see if I can get this in here. So sometimes, we think we go somewhere where we really don't. Like, oh, nope, see? It doesn't go there. Thank you. Amen. But some, you know, if we kind of position ourselves the right way, we'll fit, right? And we think we go there. And even more so, this is like right at the top, right? Because we want to be front and center, y'all. We want to be at the forefront because we've done so much for the body. We've done so much. You know, I wake up every Sunday and I go to church, and that's tough. I could be sleeping. Okay. but we think we go here. We think we go here. Or maybe, and I'll try this again. Or we think maybe we go somewhere over here. Whoops. Somewhere over here. And it doesn't fit. It doesn't quite work. But when we start to pray, when we start to really examine ourselves and think about where God has called us to be, that's when we find out our purpose. We found out our purpose. And honestly, if we didn't go there, then who would hold Din Djarin's Razor Crest? I'm pretty deep in the lore, y'all. Anyway, you know, how would we hold things if we're supposed to be the hand in the body of Christ? That's our purpose. You see, we all have a specific role, and each role is important. None greater than the other. So we must not fool ourselves into exalting our lives above somebody else's. Remember that Christ, knowing full and well that he was God, came here as a servant and of low social status and never exalted himself above anyone else. Like if anyone ever had a legitimate reason to exalt themselves above other people, it would be Jesus, right? Because that's God. But he never did. He set the perfect example of how to live our lives humbly, always lifting others up around him, never thinking of himself before others, and ultimately sacrificing himself for sinners like you and me so that we could have that personal relationship with him and approach the throne like we did this morning during worship, and it was just so great. Those moments, those special moments are made because Christ came as a baby like we just celebrated in Christmas, grew up knowing that he was God, lived his life as a servant, and died on the cross for us. We too must live this way. We must not consider ourselves better than our neighbor. We must continue to lift them up as Christ lifts us up. And I'm also thankful for a God that not only teaches us this, but sets that example when he came as Jesus Christ. I'm so glad we serve a God that's not a do as I say, not as I do kind of God. Oh my goodness, our God is so good, so merciful, so magnificent. He not only lifted others up around him when he walked on this earth, but he healed the sick. He rose people from the dead and ultimately saved us from our sins. To put it simply, he helped people. Which brings me to my third and last point. Tony's going to come help me out on this one. Point number three, help others out. See, verse 4 from our text this morning tells us this. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I love this verse. I love this verse. I love that Paul knew this had to be said. He knew he had to say it. He knew that our carnal nature, our fleshly desire is always selfish. Always selfish. And typically, we always have a good excuse of why we do things for ourselves and other people. Like we always have the perfect excuse. We always have the perfect way of rationalizing why we do things so selfishly. Why we only take care of our own needs. But here in verse 4, Paul makes it clear that we need to be looking out for the needs and interests of others as well. It makes me think back to Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room. And after that, the first church of Christ was born and no one was in need. Everyone was taken care of by their brothers and sisters in Christ. They thought of themselves not as individuals, but as one body, the body of Christ. And with that mentality, they made sure that no one was left hungry. No one was left thirsty. No one was left in need. People began to sell everything they had and distribute it amongst each other, and they did it on their own accord. It was beautiful. That type of generosity, that type of concern for the well-being of others is what God is still calling us for today. That wasn't an Acts chapter 2 thing. That is a 2020 and a 2021 thing and the rest of eternity kind of thing. To not just go through our lives only concerned about what we can do for ourselves, but concerned with what we can do for others. I mean, imagine the change that would happen. Imagine the change that would occur if everyone had this mentality of putting others first. Imagine how quickly the world would change. I believe starvation and poverty would be a thing of the past. I believe suicide rates would drop drastically, if not to zero. I believe sex trafficking would end. I believe we would see a world more and more unified. And if Christians were the ones at the forefront of this, it wouldn't just be unified. It would be unified under Christ, y'all. Isn't that what we're trying to do? To let people know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on the throne and leading us to do these things. But it starts with us. We as believers are called to be different in this world, to be the salt and the light of the earth. So let's be different. When someone is in need, let's be quick to help. When someone is hungry, let's be quick to feed. When someone is hurting, let's be quick to do all we can do to heal. And when they ask us, because they will ask us why we're so quick to do all these things, let's be quick to point to Christ, the one who was quick to sacrifice himself for us. When we have this type of generosity, it will be infectious. People will wonder what is going on in this church, and it will present us with more and more opportunities to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But we all have to be of this mentality. We all have to be unified in spirit. That's what this message is all about. To all be part of the body of Christ with him as the head, giving us direction and giving us purpose. And I believe that that purpose is to lift others up and to help others out. To put the needs of our neighbors before our own and to not look at ourselves as greater than they are. I believe as the scripture calls us for on many occasions that we should have the same mentality of Christ Jesus, who did all that he could for those around him. With those ideas at the forefront of our minds, the church can do more than we could ever imagine, and it could do more than we could ever do on our own. To have that mind of Christ should be our ultimate goal. To listen to the call of unity in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this message that you've put on my heart, Lord God. I thank you for hopefully someone that it's reaching, Lord God. I just pray for that spirit of unity to pour over the entire congregation. Those here, those tuning in online, those that aren't even listening, Lord God. I pray that believers in Christ will come together in unity, help each other out, lift each other up, do what we can to help our neighbor, Lord God, just as we see in Acts chapter 2, just as we see in the sacrifice that you gave, doing all you could for us, Lord God. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to the congregation. Lord, I pray that you continue to move, Lord God, move in our spirits, in our minds, in our hearts, Lord God, to help us do the things that you have called us to do. Help those of us that exalt ourselves over other people to recognize our place, to bring humility in. And Lord, I pray those of us that may think of ourselves as less than what you've called them to think of, that they will begin to recognize their importance in the body of Christ. I pray that humility will pour over all of us, lifting our spirits for those whose spirits are down, and pulling us down to earth for those of us that might be thinking a little too much of ourselves, Lord God. I just pray for that conviction to fall over us, Lord God, that we'll do the things that you've called us to do. And we love you, and we praise you for this opportunity to live this life, to share your love, Lord God, to help people out, Lord God. We thank you. Thank you so much for that. In the name of Jesus. See, with every head still bowed and every eye still closed, maybe you want to be part of this unity. Maybe you want to join the call of Christ, but you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and your personal Savior. Right now, I want to give you that opportunity. I couldn't stand up here and preach without giving that opportunity to those that need it, the opportunity to make the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. And I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come up to the front or take you into some other room. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to pray here in a second. It's going to be a simple prayer, but y'all, it's going to be a powerful prayer. The power to change your life will be in this prayer. It'll be a prayer of commitment to Jesus Christ. So if you're in this building or tuning in online and you want Christ in your life for the first time, or maybe been on a rough path for the past year. I know 2020 has been tough, but you want to get back on track with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to join me in this prayer. And the great part about this is you're not going to say it alone. Other brothers and sisters in Christ are going to pray with you. We're all going to pray this together. I'm going to ask everyone in here to repeat this prayer with me. We're all going to pray this together. But before I pray, I want to know who I'm praying for. I just want to know. So with every head bowed and everyone's eyes closed, if that's you this morning and you want to accept Christ into your life for the first time, or hey, maybe the first time in a long time, would you just raise your hand so we know who we're praying for? Tuning in online, if you're tuning in online, I just want to know who I'm praying for. I can't see you, but I feel like I can feel you in my spirit if you're watching and you want this in your life. I'm just going to give a moment. Thank you, Jesus. This is what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down if you will. I'm about to say this prayer, and everyone, again, just please join me in this prayer. It goes a little bit like this. Dear Jesus, I need you. I'm just a sinner, and I want to be made clean. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me for every sin and every mistake. Restore my life. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead to give me life and life eternal. Jesus, I accept you. I as my personal Lord and Savior. Make me new. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.